Through 80 games of the season, the Astros have the second best record in baseball, and we are being joined by Jeff Blum to talk about the state of the Houston Astros. We got so much to discuss on this special edition of the Locked On Astros podcast that starts now.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Jeff, where can they find you on Twitter? And I think you're on some TV broadcasting thing. Where can they find you at?
Yeah, if you're an Astros fan and you haven't found us on AT&T Sportsnet SW, I apologize for that. Hopefully your cable carrier picks it up. But yeah, nightly and daily, we will be covering the Astros. Myself, TK Julia, will be on AT&T Sportsnet SW. And of course, you can reach me on Twitter and on the Instagram at Blummer27. I try to keep it as simple as possible, not only so fans can remember, but so I can remember.
It looks like last time we had you on, you had to be in Houston for all the road games. Now you're able to travel with the team. What is that like to be able to travel again?
It's awesome. You know, part of the experience of being a color commentator and being able to cover the team is being around the team, being able to ask questions, being able to get a feel, see these guys, look them in the eye, and also be available to them too if they have any questions about the show, if they're watching, or if they feel that we're seeing something, or you know, just having that conversation, just feeling like you're all in this together. Because you know, the one thing about that's beautiful about being an RSN is being able to be a fan of your team, promote your team, and you know, be able to protect them in certain situations, and just have a good time being around these guys. Because obviously we've been very lucky to be a part of this organization during this unbelievable, unprecedented run that, you know, that we haven't seen since the mid to late 90s with some of the Braves and the Yankees teams back then. You know, they've really created a dynasty like situation here in Houston. But being able to get back on the road is kind of interesting, because everything that we watched over the last 2 years has just been audio for us. And now we actually get that tactile experience and get our hands on it, get our eyes on it, and feel some of the emotion and some of the momentum that happens in a ballpark on a nightly basis. Nothing will ever match that. We're happy to be on the road, and it's been a blast.
Speaking of a blast from past, you've been able to interact with your old buddy, Jeff Bagwell. What is it like being in booth with him? I know y'all joke around a lot, but what is it like being able to experience the game with him with all his knowledge?
It's always good. You get a feel for, you know, exactly what I learned from him, Craig Biggio, Billy Wagner, Brad Ausmus, Shane Reynolds. You know, Brian Hunter was another guy that I was a locker mate with. But all those guys, when I was young in my career, I was 3 years into the big leagues when I finally got to meet these guys and be around Hall of Fame caliber type talent in the Billy Wagners, the Craig Biggios, and the Jeff Bagwells. So, you know, I gleaned a lot of information off them, and it was good to be around them. But now sitting in the booth and getting to be able to call a team that is very, very good, better than any team that I've ever been on, and being able to share that with Jeff and compare some of the experiences we had back in the early 2000s and then put that kind of with the team that's going out there right now is a lot of fun. And obviously, you know, there's some good stories mixed in there, but at the same time, we realize we're recognizing greatness in the moment. So that makes it that much more fun.
So is he kind of adapting to the analytical side? I know at the beginning he was kind of hesitant about that, but is he kind of adapting to it a little bit more?
I don't know. You know, sometimes I think he is, and then he goes, takes a left turn and goes right back to, you know, give me the soft contact base hits, when I know in reality, in the back of his mind, if I said I could give you a Yordan Alvarez or a David Fletcher, I know exactly who he's going to pick. You know, because you're going to take exit velocity over that every day. But I think that, you know, for Jeff, he's still kind of in that clubhouse mode, where I've kind of transitioned into the broadcast mode, where I understand that I can use the analytics to kind of explain my story. He's a hands-on guy. He's an eyes guy. He gets to get in on meetings with players and personnel and things like that. So I think he brings a valuable asset in the sense that he still has the feel for the game. But, you know, when I'm out there trying to tell a story and explain the greatness of a Jose Altuve or why, you know, Christian Javier's fastball plays so well, I need some of that data to back me up a little bit so I can kind of mesh together what my eyes are telling me and what everybody's fans, you know, all the fans' eyes are seeing too, and just kind of give them some data that might give them an idea of what a GM or some of that analytical department might be looking at when they see some of these guys performing extremely well. It just gives me a good reason why.
Yeah, for sure. And it looks like Alvarez, speaking of Alvarez, he's having a great season. He's probably up for the go to All-Star game. And then he's going to possibly go for the Home Run Derby. And I know this is something that he hasn't really decided yet. And so that's something that he's wants to, I think about. And I know you are a former competitor in the great Minute Maid Park Home Run Derby and something that you have experience with. And so should he do it, first of all? And also, is there any truth to it messing up a hitter's swing long-term or just short-term?
You know, I think it can mess with the swing a little bit, but I think when you get, you know, the Pete Alonzos, the, you know, the Ronald Acuna Juniors, the Vlad Guerrero Juniors, and then you add Yordan Alvarez to that mix, and even Aaron Judge to an extent, I think these guys' swings are so powerful that they can create line drive home runs and not really alter their swing all that much. So I don't know how much it will affect them. I think it's more of, you know, seeing the same pitch over and over and over again, where you kind of get it, you know, that the speed of your swing kind of gets locked into a BP fastball as opposed to, you know, 95 up in the zone and then a power slider. So I think that's where the adjustment for those hitters, not necessarily the mechanics of the swing, it's more of what your eyes are telling your swing to go out there and do. So that's where the adjustment might be kind of tough. But I think this year is a little bit different than most. We had the lockout. The Astros are going to have a shortened All-Star break because the Yankees have to come in on that Thursday and play a doubleheader before they head up to Seattle. So, logistically speaking, I think that might have an impact on whether or not Yordan decides to be in the Home Run Derby, because obviously he's a huge piece of this offense, if not the biggest piece. And then you add in the logistical factor of getting out to the West Coast early, performing in the Home Run Derby, having the All-Star experience if he ends up being voted as a starter for the DH, and then it's getting back to Houston and then trying to enjoy a day off on a Wednesday and then playing a doubleheader on Thursday. So there's a lot of factors, I think, outside the game that might have impact what Yordan does. But we all know that if he gets into that thing, and if you've ever seen Yordan take batting practice, and I was having a conversation with it might have been Javier Bracamonte literally 2 days ago. And there are certain guys when I played that I would literally sit in the dugout and watch batting practice. It was the Sammy Sosas. It was the Barry Bonds. It was, you know, Wade Boggs and Mark McGwire. And Yordan Alvarez is that guy for me now. I will literally be sitting in the booth at Minute Maid Park. And if I'm not on the field and I'm in the booth, I will stop what I'm doing. And I will watch every swing he takes in batting practice because it's mammoth. It's unbelievable. So if you get to Minute Maid Park, watch Yordan take batting practice, because that swing in Home Run Derby would make him a huge competitor.
Yeah, and I've seen him in batting practice too. And if he starts consistently hitting towards the Crawford boxes, that would be awesome too, because he can just hit to any way. And so looking at what he's doing, we have a lot of comparison of Alvarez to Big Papi. I know you played with the White Sox for a while there. We don't talk about that, but also is it fair to compare Alvarez to Big Papi? I know they're two different people, but could Alvarez be better than Big Papi was?
Yes. I was actually talking to Phil Boudreau, who does our stats at home games. And, you know, he's highly analytical. He's very deep into the numbers. And there have been moments, and I think it finally struck him yesterday, and it kind of struck everybody in the booth too, when we witnessed, you know, Yordan Alvarez in that second game against the Kansas City Royals, where he kind of took a couple of walks and then eventually took a Coar changeup out into the Crawford box. And I've been saying it since I've seen Yordan, if he's able to abuse that Crawford box and just kind of lift a couple of pitches into that Crawford box on some tough pitches down and away, that'll completely change the dynamic for Yordan Alvarez, because he has always been very good from left center field all the way to the pole side on the right field pole for him left-handed. But if he's able, he can just flick balls out there. He's so strong. So it's pretty unbelievable to me to see him take that changeup down and away, not really use the entire body, but you really get those arms extended and drive that ball the other way. And when he did that, considering the game that he was going through, I think he has a chance to be better than Big Poppy, just in the sense that if he's taking these walks, being more selective, and then when he gets pitches to drive, he drives them out. You know who that compares to? That compares to Barry Bonds. That's Barry Bonds type stuff. When you start to elevate that on base percentage, add that slug and that occasional, you know, home run every other day, that kind of vaults him into some you know, legendary type status. And the scary part for me with Yordan is that he is that much more advanced at an earlier age than Big Poppy was. It took Big Poppy a couple of years in Minnesota and then getting, you know, picked up by Boston before he really became somebody. Yordan's on an advanced scale, I think, and he's on a much, much steeper trajectory, so to speak.
Yeah, and we all get to watch this every day, and it's great to be an Astros fan right now. And speaking of that, it's great to just bet on the Houston Astros. How far will they go? We got Mattress Mac betting on the Houston Astros. Well, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports development, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball playoffs, and just Major League and baseball in general. BetOnline is your continued source for all sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And betonline.net remains the best sports spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, news this season. BetOnline.net is your fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, golf. And head to the website today and use a mobile device to learn more about all the trends in action. BetOnline, it's where your game starts. And if you need something for that special person in your life, whether it's an engagement ring or just fine jewelry for any occasion, go to BlueNile.com. It's just something that where if you need something quick and now, it's something that will be good. So whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find a jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile Bench Jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. Looking for fine jewelry, but having a hard time choosing? Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find the memorable gift that you'll remember forever. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Sports listeners will get $50 off with purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use the code Locked On. That code is Locked On, plus every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in a discreet package that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right, so I know that you have a nice little piece of arena with the 2005. Yeah. So, yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, just let me know if you need me to remind you about that. It's okay.
No, I'm good. So, with that being said, do you think the Astros have enough right now to win the World Series this year?
I do. You know, there were certain questions for me going into that New York road trip, you know, four games against the Mets and then four games against the Yankees, and then coming back home and playing another game against the New York Yankees. So it was very similar to kind of a playoff atmosphere and a playoff, you know, kind of calendar type situation where you're on the road playing them. You come back to your own ballpark and play them. But there were some questions going into that. How are the guys going to respond? And this is one team. And this has been year by year for me where I've actually been thoroughly shocked at the ability of this team to kind of react and step up to certain situations under pressure and put together a great ball club and play great games. And going through New York and realizing that they did take 2 of 4, which is a beautiful thing, because any road series you go to, whether it be a playoff situation or against a tough opponent, you want to split that away series. And that's exactly what they did, when in reality, if we play the woulda, shoulda, coulda type game, they could have swept that series if it wasn't for two innings. Out of that entire four-game series against the Yankees, they only lost two innings. And those two innings were very winnable. That's what's crazy to me. And it kind of gave me the impression that, yes, as this roster stands, they could beat the Yankees in a championship series. And then we saw them play the New York Mets, who are a contender in the National League East and have been projected to get to the World Series beating the Dodgers. You know, the only test we're not going to be able to see this season is maybe what the Astros can do against the Los Angeles Dodgers. But considering what they've done against the league's two best teams as far as records are concerned, yeah, I'd say they're able to go out there, compete, win the American League pennant, and get to the World Series and provide a great deal of competition, if not the whole thing. But if you're going to be greedy, you could go ahead and say, if we have the opportunity to make some moves, they're going to have to be moves. For me personally, with this ball club, if I was GM, my idea would have to be something that would really enhance the team. And it's very similar to what Jim Crane and Jeff Luno did in the past. Justin Verlander, huge upgrade. Zach Greinke, huge upgrade over a couple of guys in their rotation that made them better. But if I can't find that guy or create a trade atmosphere where I don't feel awful about, you know, trading away some of my young talent to get that guy in return, you may not have to do it because this team's so good.
Would somebody like Luis Castilla with the Reds fit that picture?
Yeah, I think that guy, you know, if you're not going to go out and get that bullpen arm, because I really like the rotation, and you've got to remember that there is a lot of hope around Lance McCullers Jr. coming back, and how is he going to be used? So if you're not going to go out there and get that bullpen arm, I would definitely say that Luis Castillo is one of those electric arms that you could put in there. He would be, you know, you'd have to look in that rotation and really, you know, take some tough medicine and talk to some guys, but really realize Luis Castillo's stuff and the way it plays would be better than, you know, a Jake Odorizzi or a Jose Urquidy. That's where you'd have to do that evaluation. And I think Luis Castillo is one of those guys that kind of fits that mold where you could convince the clubhouse that this is an upgrade and something we had to do.
Yeah. I don't know what the closers are out there. Rafael Iglesias would be somebody the Angels could possibly trade. But speaking of the Angels, are they going to be good ever? They have two of the best players in the game and they can't win. What's going up with that? Actually, three.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, because if you add Anthony Rendon in there, I mean, they've got three potential MVP candidates. And I think that you're like me, where we obviously we're much more biased towards the Astros and what they're able to do. And we appreciate the run they're on. But at the same time, I think when the season started, myself, TK, Julia, we kind of said, you know, who's going to compete? The Seattle Mariners are going to compete if they can do what they did last year. The Angels should be able to compete with Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, you know, adding Thor to the mix. Michael Lorenzen was a piece that you could probably say, hey, but that would help him out a little bit. But I'm getting the sense that they have invested so much time and money into a Mike Trout contract, into a Shohei Ohtani, that they haven't been able to develop anything around these guys. And it's thoroughly shocking to me that they get the idea of scoring runs in that organization, but they really haven't done anything other than, like you just said, Raisel Iglesias, who they picked up, signed as a closer. They haven't done anything as far as pitching is concerned for me to tell me that they're trying to help out what Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani are trying to do, because the only way that you win championships is by having good, healthy starting pitching, having a good back end of the bullpen to back up what your offense is going out there and doing. I mean, I hate to harp on it. I know your podcast, you know, listeners will love this, but the Astros are the model. They are the prototype of what you need to do in order to go out there, not just win divisions, but win pennants and get to the World Series, because they pitch so well. Their pitching is enhanced because their defense is so great. And then you put together an offense that is super stingy and knows how to create traffic on the base paths and get big hits. They are the model for a big league team, and the Angels are faltering greatly. And it's a shame, like you said, because they've got two or three of the best players, the best players in all of baseball, and they can't get into the playoffs. It's truly astonishing.
Yeah, if you look at the Astros record right now, they're 53-27. They have a 13.5 game lead in the AL West. And the Rangers look like they're going to compete for a little bit. Now they're on a three-game losing streak. The Mariners are on a four-game winning streak. I don't know which one of those teams are going to give the Astros any type of fight this year. I mean, baseball, you can't really count any team out because they can throw out 12 games in a winning streak. Who knows what can happen? Do you see any of these guys catching up to the Astros this year?
No, not at all. No, not even close. I wish I could give you a better answer and really entertain you, but these guys are too good. I think we've all seen too much. The only thing that could really hinder what the Astros are doing is a catastrophic type injury. And I don't see that happening with the Astros, just because, like you just spoke of, the 13 and a half game lead, you know, you've got Mauricio Dubon, you've got Aledmys Diaz. These are guys that can move around the infield and the outfield, give days off to guys, protect their legs, protect their health. And I just don't see it happening. I mean, imagine the thunder that one of these teams would have to bring and the run they would have to get on. They'd have to win 14 games in a row just to get, and the Astros would have to, you know, play 500 baseball for them even to get back in the realm of reality. So those are some pretty extremes for them to jump over as far as hurdles. I think right now, you know, what we're just a little under a month away from the trade deadline. And I don't think the Angels are going to go out there and make any moves. I don't think the Mariners have the opportunity to go out there and make any moves. I think they're just going to keep pumping Julio Rodriguez for the Rookie of the Year and hope for the best. But the Astros are the cream of the crop, and they're just blowing away the division. I don't think there's any chance.
Well, you brought up Julio Rodriguez. I know that for a while, Jeremy Pena was kind of leading the Rookie of the Year pack, but Julio Rodriguez has kind of leapfrogged him a little bit. I think missing some time with the injury kind of hurt him a little bit. But are you surprised with how good he's done offensively? He was supposed to be a good defense shortstop, but I don't think a lot of people expected what he's done offensively this year. Are you glad the Astros didn't sign Carlos Correa now?
Well, it's easy to say now, 80 games into the season, that you're grateful for that fact, just because the money that you saved on not signing Carlos Correa may allow you to the opportunity at the trade deadline to go get somebody and take on salary, you know, and not kill your soft cap there or the luxury tax that they're dealing with. But Jeremy Pena, I think all anticipations were play a solid defense, like you said, get a couple of hits every now and then, show flashes of brilliance. But, hey, just work in, play defense, pick up our pitching. This guy, I mean, he single-handedly won two games with two swings. So, he's far exceeded anything I thought that he could do offensively. But I also think it's a benefit for a talent like his to be in a lineup like the Astros, where you don't have to go out there like a Bobby Witt Jr. and go, hey, man, you're our only hope. You know, if you do something good, we're going to be all right. You know, Jeremy Pena, we know you're good. We're going to put you in one of the best lineups in baseball. Just be you, relax, have a good time. And guess what? He's gone out there and exceeded our expectations, because he's got the talent, he's got the protection, and he's got the encouragement of 25 other guys in that clubhouse who want to go out there and win ball games and realize that Jeremy does a very good job of playing a great shortstop and helping them win games. So it was really a win-win situation. I think that's where, you know, that's where you're fortunate to have an organization that can develop talent as well as the Astros have done, and also put them, it's a much softer landing for Jeremy Pena in an Astros lineup than it is for a Julio Rodriguez in a Seattle Mariner lineup, because there's so much expectation put on those guys, and a Bobby Witt Jr. like we're seeing right now with the Kansas City Royals, where the expectation is so high that he is the focal point of everything, and they're going to follow every up and every down with them. Whereas Jeremy Pena can kind of have those mediocre games, or maybe have that little bit of a dip or a slump, and it kind of goes unnoticed. And we just kind of say, he'll be all right. He'll get back in the swing of things. But thank goodness we have Bregman, Alvarez, Brantley, Altuve, Gurriel. I mean, the list goes on. So he's in a great spot, and he's proven his worth for sure.
Yeah, and my final question is, we already talked about Alvarez. I kind of want to ask this too. It's a two-part question. Altuve is on the final list for second base for the All-Star team. First question is, are people actually going to vote for him with all the controversy out there? So would he make the team? And who else do you see making the All-Star team from the Houston Astros?
Well, I'll answer the second part first, just because Ryan Stanek is a guy for me. I know he doesn't get the accolades or the attention because he's not a back. I mean, he's a back end of the bullpen, but he's not that quote unquote closer where he's racking up saves. And you're looking at the 0.7 ERA that he's got right now, or the 20 plus innings of shutout baseball that he's pitching, and you're going, oh, this guy is the best closer in baseball. But he is such a valuable part of this squad in setting up things for a Rafael Montero and for a Ryan Pressly. And he's pitched in leverage situations. He's pitched in the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. So, you know, his versatility and ability to shut teams down is what tells me that he could be an all-star. It would be great to see him get honored in that way. Going around the diamond, I really think that Altuve is a guy that should get some votes. And I think it's kind of funny that we watch him get, you know, almost 2 million votes, because as much as everybody in the Yankees fan base wants to boo him, degrade him, and get after him, he continues to go out and produce. I think once people, and we all know this from being on Twitter, once people get behind their keyboard, they get a little more comfortable being who they think they want to be. So who knows? There may be some secret Yankee fans going, damn, this guy's really good. I got to vote for him. He's way better than Espinal. Things like that. But I also think in reverse, there's enough fan bases out there that don't like the Yankees that will vote for Jose Altuve just in spite of the Yankees. So that's kind of my, weird theory on how Altuve can become the starter in the All-Star game. Jordan Alvarez, I think, is better than Shohei Ohtani. I know that Shohei Ohtani has the opportunity as a pitcher and a hitter to make the All-Star game, and he'll be in there. But my ultimate dream, as long as we're talking about the All-Star game, is to have Jose Altuve leading off, George Springer hitting second, and then Jordan Alvarez hitting third. And I know this probably won't happen, but Justin Verlander would be the starter. And then on the other side, it would be great to see Joe Musgrove be the starting pitcher on the National League side. And the little caveat is, the first pitch of the game is just a nice little tube shot fastball for Jose Altuve that he can clip and go deep in the All-Star game at Dodger Stadium in front of a ton of Dodger fans on the national stage. Whew, that would be some kind of special right there.
Yeah, that, I think you just wrote a Disney or a Hallmark movie there.
it might be a horror film for some people, but for us here in Houston, yeah, it would definitely be those Hallmark Channel type moments.
Yeah, for sure. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about your podcast and where they can find you again on Twitter. And thank you once again, Jeff, for coming on the Locked On Astros podcast.
No, I appreciate it. It's always good talking Astros. Obviously, great times. You guys are doing a great job. You're much more athletic in the podcast than I am, because you're on a daily basis. So I applaud you for that. And I'll appreciate the opportunity to go on and talk Astros. You can reach me at Blummer27 on Twitter, at Blummer27 on Instagram. And I think a lot of Yankee fans have found me out there after that trip to Yankee Stadium. So help me out in the comment section. I appreciate it. And also, I've got a podcast. It's on every podcast platform you can find. It's a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. And it's called Bleep Bums. We come out weekly, bi-weekly, whenever we feel like it. But we try to talk a lot of sports, a lot of Astros. I've got a great co-host in David Tuttle, who played baseball out in California for Team USA for a while. So we have a lot of fun. And you guys are doing a great job. And thanks for having me on.
All right. Thank you for coming on, Jeff. And hopefully you get to go and watch another World Series, hopefully in Dodger Stadium again. And we'll see what happens. So
yeah, I'll be chugging beers with everybody else out, cheering these guys on. You better believe it.
All righty. Well, thank you for coming on. And that's all for this edition of Locked On Astros podcast. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube and make us your first listen every day. And go Astros.